Father, thank you for this class. We thank you for your word. And thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that you speak something to us that we've never heard before. And further stamp the things that we've heard or things that we know, further stamp them on our hearts so we can be more like you've called us to be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Hopefully by the time this semester is over, you'll know this by heart. Chapter 4 or something, or have some of it at your heart. And I always like to do a little reading because it's always good to read over again and read over again and read over again. Ephesians is an amazing book. I said this last week and I'll say it again. It's an amazing book when it talks about the church. It talks about what the church looks like. There's a part in here about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. With three parts, I am a spirit. If you know this, if you know it, say it. Your three parts, come on. All right, so I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. We learned that's basic ABCs of Christianity. I am a spirit, I have a soul, which is my mind, my will, my intellect, my thoughts, my understanding, my feelings, my emotions, all right, all that, which is a lot of stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I live in this body, which is, we talked about last week, my body is a temple. So that's our three parts. Now, one of the things about your spirit is already perfect. Are you born again? That's the Spirit of God in you. You can't make the Spirit of God any better. The Spirit of God is what it is, with or without you, all right? So the fact that it's on the inside of you means your spirit, man, is already perfect. All right? You're not adding anything or taking anything away. Because the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells well on the inside of you. That's perfection already. Perfect, flawless, whatever you want to call it. It's already everything that it needs to be. It's already the answer to every question. It's already the answer to any problem. It's already the direction that you need. All of that is already on the inside of you. And I was talking about that a little bit last week, about the answer already being on the inside of you. But your spirit man is perfect. So now the problem comes in when we deal with, it's not even your body, because your body kind of, your body does what your mind tells it to do. See my hand waving right now? Because my mind told my hand to wave right now. See right now? My hand is not just waving. Now sometimes there are certain things the enemy attack people with. Nerve problems or different things that try to make their body act out, and it's the enemy just trying to attack them. But at the end of the day, central nervous system says that my mind, my thoughts, my brain tells me to snap because I decided to snap. So my mind tells it. It wasn't so much that my spirit said snap, but it's my mind telling it to snap. Like it's controlled by that. You see what I'm saying? You ever got goosebumps before? Because your mind told you that you was cold. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's those type of things. It's amazing how God made us and put us together as a being. But even in the amazingness of that comes the same problem that we deal with. Because we're most of the time driven by our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings and what we feel and what we think. We're driven by those things a lot more than anything else. And when dealing with the church, I think one of the biggest problems is there should be a church-wide renewal of what we're doing. Because we have... Grandmama then told us I was raised in the church a certain kind of way. I've been in church since I was little, and that's what they told me church was. And so I've taken that on, and I'm functioning, and I'm doing it, and this is an honest thing, because I'm doing it because I'm trying to do the right thing, right? We're all endeavoring to do the right thing. We all want to be right. You know, every day we're learning more. We're trying to be right. Just being honest. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to make the right decisions. And that's part of church. One of the reasons probably some of us came to Jesus, because we wanted to get ourselves together, right? But there must be a renewal, and I read these scriptures slow now, and I read more about Jesus now. I read it very slow. I read about Christ very slow now. I don't kind of skip through. I just finished reading the Gospels not too long ago, and I went back the other day and read another scripture that I know I read over, but I saw something in it that I didn't see before. I take my time. Meditation is taking your time and reading. What happens is we need an overall renewal. We're going to talk about that in this chapter, in chapter 4. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, but we need an overall renewal of what's really going on. Church as we know it a lot of times isn't church as it should be. Church as we've seen it over the years isn't church as God initially intended it to be, or as Jesus has designed it to be, or how Jesus lived it. And so it's going to take a lot of renewal on our parts. Everything that you need, everything you you need from God, everything that every answer, every revelation, every insight, every direction, all the things that you need from God are already on the inside of you. The only reason it doesn't feel like that, and notice I said feel, because feeling is a part of your soul, right? Right? The reason I say it doesn't feel like that because your soul is in the way, because you have not renewed your mind to who you are. You cannot be coming to church to try to be somebody because you already are somebody. Listen to me. It's almost a poof, like you blow your mind. You cannot be doing school or doing churchy things to try to be more righteous, because the Bible says, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. I was made. It didn't say nothing about accomplished. It didn't say anything about gaining. It says I was made righteous. You know what it means? You make somebody do something. You ever made your children go to bed? Yeah. They ain't got no choice. You got to go. All right. You really don't have a choice to be righteous or not. It's really knee jerk. It's really as quick as like you're breathing right now, and you ain't really got. You ever heard of? I'm going back to these biology class, man. This is the talking about the body. Involuntary motions. They are involuntary motions. You blink. It's an involuntary motion. You don't have to say, "Oh, it's about time for me to blink." It's been a couple seconds. No, you just blink automatically. Breathe in, breathe out. Nobody's concentrating on their breathing right now. All your heartbeat, all your blood flow. It is just doing what it does, with or without you. It's doing what it does. Now you can clog it up by eating the wrong thing. All right. Or you can mess up your breathing by taking in the wrong thing. You can mess up your blood flow by taking in the wrong thing from the outside to the inside. But it's going to work all by itself with or without you. You're looking at me right now and you're breathing. You ain't nobody even thought about breathing until I told you to think about breathing. Right? You're just doing this involuntary motion. Well, the same thing. How much more is your spirit, man? You are already everything that you're supposed to be right now, with or without you. Listen, with your mind or without your mind, you are already everything that you're supposed to be. Everything that you need is already in there. You are already the church. But now I've got to renew this, because this gets in the way. I got to renew my mind. It's a basic identity crisis. It's really what it is. The church, and I got to quote, the church as a whole has a basic identity crisis, which is why it doesn't do as much as it should, which is why it's not the powerhouse that it should be, which is why it is behind the rest of the world, which is why it seems like the world got money and the church broke, which is why it seems like the other people finding out amazing things and the church can't think about nothing, and they're doing the same thing every other Sunday. That's why, because there's a renewal that needs to go on. We don't know who we are. We as the church, because I am the church. I'm already the church on the inside of me. I am the church. But I don't know who I am, because I think that I'm trying to be something. Every message that you hear, and I'll say it again. I said it last week. I'll say it again. Every message that you hear, every sermon that you hear preached is only reminding you of who you already are. Remember, God made you righteous already through Christ Jesus. Only thing you had to do was accept that reality. You get it? You're already made righteous. You already have it all on the inside. All that revelation that you're looking for is already in here. Low here, low there. I'm looking all out here trying to get a revelation. No, the revelation is in here. I don't know if I shared with this class about the temple. Did I talk to y'all about the temple last week? I didn't say it in this class, huh? My younger brother, we were talking one day, and we were talking about the temple. And I said this in a prelude of some things. We were talking about the temple in the olden days, you know, the temple. In the Old Testament, the way it was there was a temple. We hear about the inner court and the outer courts and the holies of holies, right? Right. And that's where they got their word for the year, however long it was. You had the way it was built was they had the outer court, then there was the inner court, and on the very inside was the holies of holies. Now, the outer court, a lot of people get in touch with the outer court. You can go in the outer court, a lot of people can go in there and do what they'll do. But the inner court, there's only a few more that can get in there. All right. And it wasn't for everybody. But then when you got to the holies of holies, only that priest, only the high priest was the only one that can go in there and get the word for the nation. You know, y'all know how they used to describe it, where you used to tie a rope around their ankle. They put bells on their robes, so just in case they go in there with some sin, right, they're going to fall out. They're going to drag them on out and get another priest, right? But it was the outer court, the inner court, then the holies of holies. But the holies of holies was where the answer came from. The holies of holies was where the word of God came from. Not the word of God, like the written word of God. I'm talking about the holies of holies was where the revelation knowledge, where the alive word from God for the nation came from out of the holies of holies. All right. And only the priests could go in there to get there from the inside. You built the same way. Out of court, in the court, holies of holies. You ready? You ready? My body is a temple, right? Scripture, ain't that? My body's a temple. Now, when we go to that scripture, the first thing we think is stop eating McDonald's or you need to go work out a little bit or don't be doing that with your body. Now, you're defiling your body. Don't put no marks on you and all that. And we stop right there. It's very surface. And I agree with some of those things, but I understand it's very surface. And we never really get down to the fact of what a temple really is. A temple houses the holy of the holies. So now you, your body is the temple. Come on, come on, come on, touch your hand, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Your body is a temple, but you made the same way because you have an outer court, bop, inner court, just your mind, holders of holders, your spirit, man. I'm going to give that revelation to my younger brother. Go ahead, I'm going to give him his credit for it. But it's powerful, all right? So we built that way, all right? So now if the word for the nation came from the holies of holies, then where's the word for your nation going to be? So why is it for the life of me that we're looking everywhere out here to try to get a revelation? We're looking for God to speak to us out here. We're looking for God to say something over here. And he said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, low here, low there. No, the kingdom of God is within you. That means the answer is already on the inside of you. So now when I'm listening to God, or listening for God, I'm listening for the truth on the inside, not the outside. Anything that comes from the outside is reminding me of who I am on the inside. It's reminding me of already what's going on the inside of me. Let me tell you something. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? Where? Where's on the inside of you, right? So that means the answer, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man go to the Father but by me. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, then the way, the truth, and the life is on the inside of you. John talks about, I think it was John, he said, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who are they talking about? Talking about Jesus, right? That means the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then that same Jesus on the inside of me, so that means that word is already on the inside of me. I mean, we got a battle with the Bible. So it's already, we already are. It's already on the inside of me. How do I be a good church member? No, you are the church. How do I do good church things? No. I am, look, all it takes is for you to calm down. Stop taking in so many things that's clogging up the arteries. The involuntary, because it's involuntary. Like God is. Jesus is. Like he's not trying to be anything. He is. God is not trying. God said, he's very absolute when he speaks. If you listen to him right, God is. God said, let there be, and there was. It wasn't no, let's believe God and put a couple scriptures on it. No, let there be, and there was. And it is exactly like he said it would be. All right? So it's the same thing on the inside of you. So you don't have to figure out how to be churchy or how to do the church thing. You already it. Jesus was the example. Didn't we read it? We read a couple weeks ago, and I go, Jesus, he's the head of the church. He's the rock that the church is built upon. He's the revelation of the church. That's all scripture. We read it. Jesus is it. He's the way. When you say, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man coming to the Father but by me. He's not talking about going to heaven. I mean, it applies. It applies, but how does it apply? We're not going today. So how does that scripture apply to me right now? Because Jesus is the way. Stop thinking of pathway right now. Stop thinking Jesus as a bridge. Stop thinking of Jesus as your key to deliverance. No, think of Jesus as you being delivered. Come on. Are y'all getting that through your head? Come on. I got to pound it in there so you understand. Stop thinking. For many years, we've taken Jesus as a He's our doorway to the Father. No. He is our way of being connected to the Father. He is our way of being a part of the Father. He's trying to bring us back to our true identity that we had from the very beginning. Do you get it? So he's the way, the truth, and the light already inside of you. So it makes me think about the bull that we deal with and the stuff that we go through and the confusion that we have. All that's out here. All that's out here. And anytime you're confused, it's because you out here. You're in out of court. What you doing in out of court when the word is in the holies of holies? Why are you standing out here with all these people that can't go in? Why would I even stop in my inner court? Why would I stop here? So now the direction of life has been the wrong way. We've been going we've been going the wrong way down a one-way street. It only goes one way towards victory. I told him in another class, even God built us. I'm standing looking at my feet. My feet are pointed that way because he wants me to go forward. My face is that way. He didn't mean for me to go backwards. He meant for me to go progressive and go forward. Even God just meant for us to go ahead. So now if I'm going the wrong way, it's somewhere that I lost my identity. So now the flow of life in you, the flow of God in you, the flow of revelation in you, the flow of being the church in you, the flow of deliverance in you, from you, all we've been trying to do it the wrong way. That's why I see these people. You see these people walk up on apostle and they try to they go rub on his coat. I'd be slapping people's hand. Get your hand back. You know, they wanna lay. If you lay your hands on me, it can happen to me, right? And I won't forsake laying on the hands. If God said do it, by all means. The Bible says that the gift was given by laying on the hands of Presbyterian over there in Timothy. It talks about that. So I'm not knocking, but you can get hand. I've seen people get hand laid on them over and over again and don't nothing change. Well, what's the problem? Is the anointing not coming through the hands? No, it's not. That's not the problem. So we're going from the wrong direction. We've been going, listen. This is how we've been living. You ready? You watching me? This is how we've been living. Let me see something. Hold on. Y'all go with me because we'll go to the scripture in a minute in Matthew's, but our direction has been wrong. We've been living like this when we should be living like this. Do y'all see that? So how we been living? We've been living what, like this? Come on, do it, Jan. Go ahead, do it, Jan. Come on, do it, Jan. We've been living like this. Take it in. And maybe that's going to change something. No. How we should be living is like this. Out of our belly should flow rivers of out. Not into. The scripture now. Ain't that scripture? Out of our belly should flow rivers of living water. That means there should be rivers of living water everywhere that we go. It should be flowing out. But we seem to be always in need. The enemy tricks us sometimes and make us. And he doesn't mind us doing churchy things. He doesn't mind. Sometimes he's sitting on the front row with you. Sometimes he's sitting in the car with you like, what you got today? He don't mind though. Because if you got it wrong, if you're doing it the wrong way, then he doesn't mind because you're not gonna get the right result. So we're living like this when we should be living like this. All right, now what should happen in here? Like right now, you're hearing me. Faith comes by hearing. Faith for what? Faith in the fact of who you are. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. I live it by the faith of who? The Son of God, right? Who's the Son of God? I live by the faith of Jesus. So that means faith is acting and believing on the word. So I'm acting and believing on the word of Jesus. I'm acting and believing on the word, just like the same word that he believed. All right, let's go back to the scripture. Jesus said, I don't do nothing what my Father tells me to do. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is a lie. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. I do nothing but what, Jesus' faith, the faith of the Son of God. What was his faith? I don't do what my Father tells me to do. As I hear, I judge. So now my functioning as a church, this is why the church hadn't been doing anything as a whole, because they're functioning like a knockoff brand of the church. We got all the right sayings, we go at the right times, we do the right moves, but we're not living the right way. We're not doing it like Jesus. Jesus lived from the inside to the out. He lived from his true man, and it manifests out into the world, not the other way around. The scripture I'm about to read in a minute says, not what goeth into a man's mouth that defileth, but what comes out. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, Montreal? How does what coming out of me defile me? Well, you know, your spirit man is a life source. What if God would have said, let there be darkness forever? It'll be dark right now. Let's think about it for a minute. Well, we know in the beginning what he said. What he said? And there was, right? Now that came from his all beingness of who he was. He created his world. Well, what have you been saying? Because if one of the main attributes of God is the creator. True or not true? True or not true? And so when God speaks, it is. True or not true? So now if the spirit of God is on the inside of me, then if I got some craziness that's connected to my creative force on the inside of me, then I begin to create some foolishness, and maybe that's why I got what I got. Maybe that's why more don't come to the church. Maybe when I was supposed to be saying, speaking blessings upon somebody, or speaking words of encouragement, or speaking things like Jesus would say, maybe when I was supposed to say those things, I told them everything that was wrong with them. And so let there be whatever that was that you said, and there was. Now, if you go study about Jesus, you didn't see him really downcasting people. I saw Jesus say one. I said, well, he says a couple things that was rough. But I heard him say one thing. He said, I ain't come to you, woman. Remember he told the woman, I ain't come to you. He said, I come to the children. I ain't come to you. I didn't come to cast this to the dogs. Church member's gone, boy. We tough. He ain't the Messiah. He can't be the Messiah. Right? That woman caught the revelation and said, listen, the dogs eat the crumbs. Just let me get me. I just want the crumbs. And then Jesus came back. He was doing it to test her to see what was going on. You see what I'm saying? I didn't hear Jesus downplaying people, telling me it was too bad to be reconciled. What we got there from? That's not the enemy. The devil is an accuser. He's an accuser of the brethren. Ain't that what the Bible say? So now we've what spirit are we living by? If we live by our example, which is Jesus, then we can get more done, more miracles, more deliverance, seeking and saving that which is lost. Go into all the world and seek and save that which is lost, right? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. That's what our goal. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news that you can have reconciliation with God. That you're not too far gone. You should never give up on anybody. Listen to me. You should never give up on anybody. You don't have a right to give up on them. As long as there's breath in their body and a voice on the inside of them, things can change. Now, I understand we separate because of different things or different things that happen. It may not be a good situation for your well-being at time. I'm not talking about being ignorant. What the Holy Spirit tells you to do that. But what I'm saying, you should never give up on anybody's salvation. It is not your right to say somebody's going to go to hell. Even Jesus don't condemn people to hell. He don't. Go read the Bible. God and Jesus, they don't be condemning people to hell. People condemn themselves to hell. Well, we thought he sent them down there, huh? You know, we see the picture of heaven, right? And we see the little drop door. You know, we talked about that before, the little drop door. Everybody at the line. And when you get the line, we're trying to see if your name on the list. If your name is on the list, drop door, and you drop you down to hell, right? The little stuff. God ain't trying to do that to nobody. You know, God's will is for everybody to go. Ain't the worst person you know that in the history of life. His will is for them to go to. What nobody worse. We see this stuff going on. What nobody worse than Paul. Paul was killing Christians specifically. He was the racist of the racist. You're Christian, it's time for you to die. I'm going to load you up on the trailer and bring you back so I can show you how many of y'all I killed. Because y'all here blaspheming. And just one day on the road, the Spirit of God come and knocked that man off his horse. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm the one you persecuting." And told him what to do in that moment. It wasn't no 12-step program. Huh? It wasn't no, see, you got to get in the Word and you got to keep. No, it wasn't none of that. It was just a moment that he had with the Most High. And a moment that he had with the true and living Jesus Christ. The moment that he had with Jesus Christ and he saw the light and it changed him from that. It was, you never read that Paul had a struggle. Paul struggled and he had to get a word on it before he can really know that was the will of God. See, what we do too, this is another thing we do. We already are. Say we already are. Come on, say it again. We already are. We're not being the church. We are the church. Say it. I am. It's another thing being, trying to be something, and but be like, I already am. Like I woke up to church this morning. When my eyes open, the church eyes open. You know, the doors of the church are open. When I got up, the church stood up. I mean, it gotta be that singularity of purpose. It gotta be like that. So when I got up, Jesus got up. As far as I'm concerned, when I stood up, Jesus standing up too. The same Spirit on the inside of you, right? We too smart. We are entirely too smart. Sometimes I think we know too many scriptures. For our own good, and then we use them, you know, because the devil be quoting them too. When the devil tempted Jesus, boy, he was quoting them scriptures, boy. Don't they say if you cast yourself down, you're not going to dash your foot. Like, he know them. How long he been around? He didn't read that Bible before. He just can't get no revelation. How long? He was there when they was writing it. He been around for a long time. He an old fox. But he just can't get that revelation that you can get because he ain't got the Holy Ghost. He don't have the way, the truth, and the light. But what we do, we get the question, I need a word. And he knock you off your horse. You saw the light. You don't know. Ain't nobody was around there to slap you. He knocked you off the horse. He knocked you all the way off the horse and you saw the light and started talking to you. And then after the conversation finished, you go back and say, let me get a word on it. That was your word right there. And we do that. Sometimes it's absolute like that. Sometimes God will give you a word on dealing with somebody, ministering to somebody. You know, the church don't really exist without dealing with other people. What's the point? I mean, what if we are ostracizing other people and we're disconnecting them from who we are and we are not going where they are and meeting their needs and helping meet their needs and ministering the love of God to them, then what exactly are we doing every Sunday when we come? I know the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourself. I know the scripture, y'all. I done read it already. But the reason you assemble is because iron sharpens iron so that you can build each other up. And you can sometimes because your brother may come in, they may not really get everything. You know, I said this before and I'll say it again. It's amazing. I heard this one time. And it's amazing that they said, well, teach us how to pray. He said, well, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Well, no. For a while, I started changing it because I got deep. You know, I thought Jesus didn't, you know, maybe he ain't saying it right, or maybe I'm going to go take it to another level. So I started saying, my Father, which art in heaven, because you got to make it personal, right? You got to take ownership. My Father's art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Give me this day my daily bread. And I was like, I thought I was doing something. But then I realized that the reason he said our Father, because there's a power in our. That's my first time ever saying that. I put that in my phone. I'm really about to put this on my phone, so y'all gonna give me a second. There's power in our. Because there's something that you got, there's something that you got, there's something that you got. No man one view is a complete view of God. And so this is why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. This is why we have to come to school, or we have to come to church, or we have to have an apostle, or we have to have a man. Just talk about this in Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into to the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all come into the knowing Jesus. And so sometimes I gotta see you, because there's Jesus in you that I may not have a clear view of, but when I see him in you, then it gives me a view of who I am. I'll never forget, I told y'all this story one day, but it's something the apostle did one day, and I'm not to not go back in the story, it's one of the greatest moves like Jesus that I've ever seen in my life. And it's something simple, but it was just so like Jesus. And it changed me. We didn't have service. He didn't lay hands on me. I didn't get anointed with oil. It wasn't nothing like that. It was just, I saw, and then I saw. I feel the Spirit of God while I'm talking about that right now. I can feel it right now. I can feel him in this room right now. What happened was I saw it, and then I saw it. It changed me forever. And our Father, now, that's why it's important, because now our Father, because now there's something in your view of Jesus. And you don't have to sit down and preach a sermon to me, just live it. Now you can't preach if you allowed it for the time, your time to preach tonight, your time to preach tonight, then I'm going to sit down, I'm going to take notes, and I'm going to take it in. But I have to understand that you are only letting me know who I am. So I come to church and I see apostle preacher, I'm saying the Spirit of God start moving. I'm seeing who I am in him, because he got a better view. He's got a better view of Jesus. Can y'all get that with me? Like he's got a clearer view. So it's obviously he's got a clearer view, just by the manifestation. So because he has a clearer view, this is gonna help people with being connected to. Who you connected to? They should be giving you a clearer view of Jesus. Not giving you better stories about Jesus, giving you a clearer view of Jesus. Well, what would Jesus really look like if he was here pastoring somebody in church right now? Right? Or he was here still preaching. All right, so now it gives me a better view because I can't, you know, they say when kids come up, they do what they saw. You acting like that because you saw your daddy do that. You acting like that because you saw your mom and them do like that. You acting like that because it's only what you saw. You're a product of your environment, right? So now everything around you should be. So now you have to be mindful of what you're paying attention to and what you're connecting to and what you're letting speak to you. Every voice that says, I was talking to a friend and she said, you got to help me with something. I've been reading something. She said, I read the scripture and it says, the people came and said, many going to come and say, Lord, I cast out devils in your name, right? And Lord, I did this. We healed the sick in your name, and he said, "Get from me! I ain't never knew you. Get away from me! I ain't never knew you." She was like, "I don't understand that. It seemed like it'd be a great thing for them to be doing healing people in his name. That sound good, huh? And for to be casting out devils in his name, sound good, don't it?" She said, "Well, why he told them get away from him?" I said, "What he telling them people is many of them gonna say it, but they wasn't really doing it." There's many of them that's going to say the something Christian center, but they weren't a center for Christians. There's many of them going to wear, many people going, y'all know them right now. Y'all know a lot of people right now probably that wear the name of Jesus but don't look nothing like him. I'm not talking about living in sin now. I'm not talking about that because we all going to mess up. I think if we really knew how low sin was on the totem pole for God, then we really would be beating it. If we really knew. The enemy has made the church about sin. And so sin abounds. We got more sin in the church, out in the streets. And it's worse because it's hypocritical. Right? I'm not talking about that. They're just not living like Jesus. Like, they talk about everybody. As soon as somebody got something wrong with them, they're the first person to say something wrong with them. Nah, don't you forget Ephesians 2 talking about, wasn't that long ago, you were that person that had all that stuff wrong with you. I forget, but we forget. You know, we forget where we come from. So they're the first one to talk about someone when they walk in church, because a young lady came in, her skirt wasn't as long as the legal length of the church. So the mother comes out with a ruler. Baby, you 2 inches too short. You got to go back to the car. Why would you send her back to the car? When on the inside, what she needs, just give her a lap scar. And who says she going to heaven wearing a short skirt anyway? What? Give me the scripture. Y'all get what I'm saying? I understand. But we do these things that they come in with earrings on and they, the guys come with earrings on and the girl earring and no. It just don't look like what you think the supposed to look like. You know the church used to look like? You know what the church used to look like in the old day? You don't know what the church looked like? Y'all couldn't handle it. Oh, the church, the old church, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, them jokers, you know how you see people with tattoos all over their neck and on their arms and all that? Y'all see them people? And you know we judge them. I know you do in your head. You like, oh, look. Oh, Lord. Look at it. I know we do. I know. And we think that they have lost their slap mind, and that's it. Look at they messed themselves up. The church in the old days looked just like that, except they had it all over here. Ain't nothing. Little Pharisees, oh, yeah, these tattooed the scrolls on their face. Yeah, they tattooed the word of God on their face so they look like, so they make like they're more spiritual. I'm serious. That's what it looked like. We couldn't even handle it. But people walk in your church Sunday morning with a bunch of words across their face, you're going to start doing it. As soon as they walk in, sha-da-da-ba-ba, sha-da-da-da-da, all the way till they see, sha-da-ba-ba-ba-ba, and they're going to sit down, you're going to be like, sha-da-ba-ba. They sit next to you, you're going to put your hand on their shoulder. What Jesus going to say? Now, he's already saying it on the inside of you. But there must be a mass renewal of your mind because you can't get to his mind because your mind is in the way. Let this mind be in you, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, right? Right? What it's trying to tell you is you got to get your stank. We got some stank thinking. Get your stank thinking out the way so that the freshness of Jesus' thoughts can be yours. You don't know who that person is. Well, who were you? Who would you be if you never got a chance to see Jesus? Who would you be right now? Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Because I see, I already know I'm kind of crazy. So, oh, Lord, I already know what time this will be. Thank God I got a chance to see him. And I'm still seeing him. And I'm looking for him. Now, I'm not looking for him in the sky. There are certain things that we build ministry on that are just going to take care of themselves. See, the rapture is going to happen when the rapture happens. The sky is going to crack open and the trumpet going to sound when the sky cracks open and the trumpet is going to sound. You ain't got to believe God for that. It's going to happen when he say he ready for it to happen. All right, but now our Father's right now, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Right now, in the earth, right now. Now unto him that is able to do. Now our faith is a substance, right now. This is what we need to be focused on. And these people, church, everybody say church. Come on, say it again, say church. I need to say it like church, like church. Church, like when, now what the people need to see. They need to see church, all right? And what they need to see is, this is what they see church. When they see church, they need to see Jesus. And what they need to see is, if they can see the light, then they know which way to go. Light, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Right. Do you take a light and hide it under a bushel? No. You hold it out so that they can see. But that light has been smothered out by your thoughts. All right, question. Where does attitude come from? That's attitude. Whether that's in your spirit, your mind, or your body. Which one? Huh? Yeah, like attitude. Like you got an old stank attitude. Like you just... Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Say stink attitude, right? You turn those other people. Come in your mind, huh? And it's probably a learned attitude, too, right? Like, what language you speak? English? Why you speak English? Not because you're from England. You're not from England. Why do you speak English? You was taught that. That's what you learned. That's what you heard. So you speak English. That's what you picked up. That's what you consumed. That's what your mind conformed to. Bible talk about conforming your mind, right? You're in Romans talking about your mind conforming, right? Your mind got formed with English. It took the form of English. All right, and so there's other things that we've got to uproot that our mind has taken the form of. Now, you have to be honest with yourself and find out what has my mind been formed around? Remember, we're talking about dying. I ain't got time to really go there. We're talking about dying. Really, what being crucified really means is dying to whoever you think you are. And who whatever you built your being or your existence or what you think that you who you are, like you act a certain way because you think you like this, whatever you built that on, that's got to die so that Christ can arise in you so you can start acting like that. Remember we talked about that? I don't know if y'all remember that. That may be another class I may have to go back over. But your mind has been conformed with some things. Your mind has been conformed with, the best way I can describe conform, take the word form, you know what form is. Con, C-O-N, and I don't know where this comes from, but it always helped me understand. In Spanish, con means with. C-O-N, it means with. So, with form, like it formed with. So it was conformed to this world. It was conformed to your world. It was conformed to whatever you were told at that moment. Whether it was right or wrong, it was conformed to that. And there's some conformity that we have in that because our mind has been built around that and we function that way. But there's some renewing and some reforming and some breaking down and some things that got to change in order for us to let the mind of Christ arise on the inside of us. So you say, Montrell, how do I do that? Okay, how do I do that? Well, when those thoughts come up, all right, you really don't know what you got going on until something goes on, right? You really don't know how you feel about people until something happened with people. The Lord showed me something. I had to go to a funeral last Tuesday, and I saw some people that I hadn't seen in a long time, some relatives that I hadn't seen. And y'all know my relatives are all over the place. I'm really, because we're doing work. So I saw some people that I hadn't seen in a long time, relatives I hadn't seen in a long time. The preacher tried to whoop up on my daddy the whole service. And I thank God I left out before he did, because my mind is only conformed so much. Like I'm only renewed so much. There's a line that I'm not renewed to, all right? So I'm going to stand up and be like, who are you talking to, Reverend? If you're speaking over here, just come stand over here for a little while and come say it. But that's another, because Jesus wouldn't do that. Maybe, I don't know. So, I found out something about myself, and I always consider myself to be a nice person. I got my ways, but I try to be nice. I try to be open-minded. I try to say, hey, you know, come on, and I try to do that. And I really found it out the other day because I saw about two or three people walked in that I know for a fact be dogging my daddy on the regular. Now, there's a couple things you don't mess with in my life. You know, I could deal with a lot of different things, but some things I just can't deal with, especially when nobody's doing you nothing. I can't deal with people talking about my daddy when he don't do nothing, none of them. He don't even know you, but you're talking about, all right, this is another conversation. But there's some people that used to be members here, and I know for a fact that they say things. And they came in, they put on their fake smile, I saw it. And I found out something about my heart. I found out that I got more forgiveness in me than I thought I had. And I hugged, and when I hugged the lady, and I felt compassion towards them. And I felt like if they needed me to do something, I'd have done it for them right then at that moment. And I realized that I'm making some kind of progress in my mind, in my heart. I'm serious. But that's what it should be. The old man keeps that old stuff. The new man is transformed to another understanding. But you're transformed from the... Why do you think all your vital organs on the inside, not on the outside? Why you can't literally wear your heart on your sleeve? But if your important organs were on the outside, if your brain was coated on the outside of your head, we all be in trouble. Because people be slapping you outside your head, poking your brain, you be going crazy. Is that not the truth? All your vital organs are where? Thank God for my nose and my ears and my hands and my fingers and my arms and all of those different things. But my vital organs, it means life, are where? God did that. And everything physical has a spiritual parallel. Everything that's important about you is on the inside. You get it? Amen.